Welcome to the Loving People Podcast, a ministry of First Southern Baptist Church. We're your hosts, Patrick
and Rita,
and our goal is to point you to Jesus in all struggles of this life. Now, Rita, how are we doing today?
We're good. We're not angry.
Well, as we're talking about anger, have we experienced any anger in the last week?
Have you been outside?
Yes.
It's hot one day. And it's cold the next. And that's a lot like anger runs. It's hot and cold.
Oh, man, you got that right. You know, we mentioned Rogers Avenue last week, last time, and there's definitely some anger there. You know, we haven't had any Razorback football, so we haven't had to experience any anger there.
No, but we have had to watch Razorback basketball.
We had to, but, you know, the good news is that Razorback baseball has begun.
Yes, that's great
news. Even though, for us recording it, that began yesterday. Now, when this podcast drops, that's going to feel like forever ago. But, oh, boy.
Yeah, it was good.
Game number one was a win.
That's right.
No anger there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, but anger is, we're talking about anger. It's a God-given emotion, and Scripture tells us about that. And in your training, I know you have looked quite a bit at that. Tell us a little bit about how anger is a God-given emotion.
There are several different instances in the Bible, in Psalms and in Mark, where it talks about how God was angry with the wicked every day. Or how he was angry with the people in the tabernacle when they were misusing it. He wasn't mad at the people, but he was mad at what they were doing, how they were doing it, what the circumstances were. I think that he saw inside of us all stubborn hearts. And I think that that is one thing that makes God angry, that our hearts are sinful and they're stubborn.
So does that give parents a right to be angry with their stubborn children?
A righteous anger, yes.
Righteous anger.
I had lots of righteous anger.
You hear that, parents. You can have a righteous anger toward the stubbornness of your children. Yeah. Of course, we say that jokingly. but in all seriousness, there... there are times that we should be angry, right?
Yes.
I mean, I can think of, we were talking even before this episode began, you know, working with teenagers a lot, there is bullying that goes on. Teenagers are mean. Children are mean. And even adults are mean. We don't outgrow it. Our meanness just kind of shifts into different ways, whether that's more subtle or a different form of being mean. But kids are just ruthless. Yeah. And when I see kids being mean to one another and I see another kid crying over in the corner because they feel like nobody loves them or likes them, and I can see the kids that were mean to them, I'm angry because an injustice has taken place and someone created in the image of God has been treated so flippantly, and as if they are of no worth and no value. And I think in those times, maybe I feel, as we're talking about emotions, that the anger is justified.
I think it's what we do with that anger, though.
Right.
How do we express the anger at what happened, at the circumstances or the surroundings, without being specific to the person?
Yes.
And I think that's important.
So we can be angry,
yes,
but we can't let the anger control us.
Yes.
All right. So in that moment when I see those teenagers, anger can drive me to do something I should not do, and treat the other teenagers, the mean teenagers, just the way they treated their friend. Mm-hmm. Or we can resolve the situation in a good way, in a right way.
That's right.
And that can be tough. So what does anger look like in most cases?
I have a really good story, and I wish people on the podcast could see my hands. But we talk a lot about driving up and down Rogers Avenue, and there was, for a long time, my sweet, sweet husband would
Wait, we're saying Kenny's sweet.
Yeah.
The Kenny Hobbs.
Yes, he is. But he would just have an out-of-body experience, mad yelling at people. Well, you know, the Lord convicted him of a lot of that, and he has stopped that. But now he likes to throw his hands up in the air, which drives me crazy. I'm like, hello, you're in my car. Let's behave ourselves here. That's one way anger presents itself in our actions, in our gestures. Yeah. Dana's face speaks louder than her voice does. You can tell what she's thinking by looking at her.
Now, does Dana know that?
Yes, she does. And she says she can't control it, but I think she could. So, but that's two different ways that it takes life.
Now, I love that. Rada, can we control our anger as we experience it? I know you mentioned like Kenny in the car as he's driving down Rogers Avenue. We joke about being parents with our kids, and you have grown children. You've got grandchildren. Let's think about the parents that go to the T-ball game, to the basketball game. Let's think about when the referee makes a bad call, and they really do make a bad call against their own kid. Can we control our anger?
Well, let me ask you this, Patrick. If you and Maddie are having a heated discussion in the lobby at the church,
oh boy,
and Miss Tina Beth walks up, what happens?
We get really quiet.
Uh-huh. So you control it as she approaches. Does it change the fact that you're angry?
Oh, no. Not at all.
Does it change the discussion that follows after she walks off?
No, it does not.
Okay. Well, I think that shows that we can control it.
Yes, we can.
It just depends, again, on what our focus is.
You're right.
Who we're focusing on. Do I want what I want no matter what? Am I angry for a purpose? You know, as husband and wife, Kenny and I have been angry together over different things with our kids or how they were treated or situations that came up. We tend to stand together when it comes to things like that. But on the way to church on Sunday morning is when the enemy loves to get us in one of those heated arguments. And then we get out of church and we see someone in the parking lot. We go, hey, good morning. How are you?
And they have no idea.
Good to see you. And they don't have any idea about the fight that just took place.
It's kind of like family photos.
It is. It is very much. We can look really pretty when those that are hand touched, they touch them up. They fix
right.
those flaws, and we can do that. I guess the key is, though, how does that become automatic? How do we do that without having your mother-in-law or a church member or someone walk up and you stop your conversation? How do we learn to control that?
And why would it even be something that we could control if God did not give us that as a fruit of the Spirit, self-control, and part of that being able to be to control our emotions. So God knows we're going to face anger, right?
Yes.
I know you've mentioned this in Ephesians. God says it's not if we're going to be angry, it's when we're going to be angry. But what are we supposed to do in that moment?
You're certainly not supposed to sin. And that's where we have to learn to temper that. I think earlier when you were talking in this podcast, when we were talking about the different ways we react and in family situations, it is my prayer as I grow, that becomes less of an issue because, you know, we want to be more like Christ. We want to be more in His image. And as we mature, a lot of that mellows. And the things that we were angry about with our kids, our grandkids get away with. You know, Lance asked me one time, he said, Mom, you're so chilled with the kids. What happened? And I kind of laughed and I said, Lance, I've grown up. I'm trying to keep the main thing the main thing. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of it. If in whatever emotion you're using, whatever, but especially anger, I don't get nearly as upset now as I used to.
Wow. And can you think of a lot of times in your life where you've let anger control you to a point that it's hurt a relationship, hurt a friendship, for whether that's a day or whether that's for years.
That's right. Yes. And you can't take that back.
Yeah.
When you get angry and you blow up at someone, you never pull that back.
Right.
Even if they forgive you, they still see it in their head. I think about when Brother Russ says, our words can give life or it can give death. And it's the same thing here with anger especially. When I'm mad, I know I need to walk away.
Right.
I need to get a grip on where I am. I need to allow the Lord cool my heart. And it's hard to do. And it's something.
It's almost
that
like God saying, take a chill pill.
Yeah, that's exactly right. and I think over the course of my life, I'm sure I've hurt people that maybe that wasn't my intent, but in my anger, I let it all flow.
Yeah.
And out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth spoke.
Yes.
And it was not pleasing. And that's something that I regret. I think we all have that.
And which leads to that other emotion of regret.
Yeah.
Which is not natural. We're not supposed to feel that, but we live in a fallen world.
That's right.
Anger is such a volatile emotion because it can lead to our speech being gossip. Mm-hmm. It can lead to saying things to people to their face that we don't want to say. I can think of times where I've gossiped about people behind their back, and that is absolutely mm-hmm. ruined. Relationships. I look back at my high school self I wish somebody would have talked to me about anger. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I was a joyless high school kid. I was pretty happy. I came from a home where my parents loved me and good parents, had great friends, but for some reason I struggled with anger. And to a point where, pick on me if you hear this, pick on me all you want, but it became a question of, do I need to go see an anger management therapist when I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember my mom putting me in Taekwondo at doctor's orders. Imagine little 7th grade Patrick in Taekwondo, maybe 6th grade. I was young. And just doing that to get energy out and get anger out. And I remember the Master Grant was his name, the Taekwondo guy. In charge, whatever you call that, a good Christian man, and understood why I was there and kind of taught me some things. And anger is definitely something that a lot of people struggle with.
So what do we do with it? Do you clam up? Do you release it? What are we supposed to do with it?
I mean, you need to understand and identify the emotion. You need to name it, but you need to figure out how to rightly respond to it. You definitely don't want to bottle it up, right?
Yep,
that's when we explode and we say things, do things we regret. So, Rada, since you're the expert in this, you've got the counseling degree. I want to hear your perspective on the answer
to
that.
I found a quote that said, anger is like a good horse. It must be bridled. And I thought, you know, I'd never really seen it in that way. God wants us to be passionate about things. He wants us to care deeply about things. But He wants us to do it, again, in His image, with a love that only comes from Him, with a forgiveness, with a spirit of self-control.
Right. Right. So like Jesus, when He goes and cleanses the temple and sees... which the temple, tabernacle, is meant to be used for God's glory and people's good. And then the wealthy went and took advantage of the poor in order to become more wealthy in God's temple. So rightfully, Jesus is angry. And He comes in, and as people jokingly say, He comes in and He flips tables. But He was not controlled by His anger.
No.
God is...
Well, and He didn't take it out on people.
Right.
It was the situation. It was the circumstances around what the people were choosing to do.
That's good.
So I think that that's something, you know, I think of the kids now and with, I love our teenagers, and with everything that they have to deal with.
Right.
I hurt for them.
Yeah.
I'm angry that they don't have more of a carefree lifestyle.
Yes.
It's more intense. And, you know, they've got to find ways that they can release that anger without bringing sin into it, without harming someone else, without doing damage.
Yeah. So we can't, even though we should be angry over mm-hmm. some things, over injustice in the world. I hear about human trafficking and, mm-hmm. and the fact that there are more slaves today than there have ever mm-hmm. been. I feel like there should be. I think there should be an anger over that. And yes. I know there are people that in their righteous anger, they have devoted their lives to righting that injustice, righting that wrong. And there's so many other examples where we should be angry. But like you said, that doesn't mean that the anger controls us.
Yeah,
that's right. Because that's when things go haywire and things go wrong. Cain and Abel, perfect example. I was reading that the other day. Mm-hmm. God looks at Cain. He says, sin is crouching at the door. It mm-hmm. wants you. It's ready for you. Shut the door. Don't give it any inch. And Cain opens the door wide open and gives credence to his anger and kills his brother.
And he gives in to it.
Yes.
He allows it to overtake.
Yes. And so we have to keep that in mind. We don't want to go the way of Cain. As scripture looks at that, this way of anger is a terrible way to go. And the line of Cain that follows, and it's just, there seems to be problem after problem, and it all comes back to this one angry act, all based on that. Mm-hmm. We can't give too much credence and too much weight to anger.
Well, you know, let's go back to the teenagers for just a second. When something happens at school, so often it starts a snowball effect. I will never forget a little boy that was in the fourth grade. I was working at school, and his teacher labeled him as a troublemaker. And wow. that label followed him all the way through life. That young man committed suicide. I had a discussion with his mother mm-hmm. going back to that fourth grade teacher and the anger she felt in her heart.
Wow.
And how we talked about, okay, I understand the humanness of that, and I understand why you feel that. But what are we to do? That's when we have to remember God's grace, His mercy.
Wow.
And just like we just had staff meeting just a little while ago, mm-hmm. and Russ was talking about how the different talents were given.
Yes.
And one squandered it, and God was, or Jesus was angry with him. That's part of it. I talked to the mother about the anger with that fourth grade teacher, and she said, you know, how do I ever get past this? Mm. And I mean, it's probably been 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I said, you just have to pray. You have to ask God for that. That's something only He can give. And if I could get our kids to understand, everything you do makes a difference. Mm. How you react in your anger makes a difference.
Yes.
Think about it. See what God would do. Would He give me grace on this? Would He show mercy? What am I supposed to do in it?
Yeah. Would you even say that your anger is not meant to be wallowed in? Your anger is absolutely. Meant to be responded to.
And, that's right.
And rightly so.
That's right.
But we have to respond to it in a godly way.
Well, and the Bible even tells us when someone has sinned against you, or you have sinned against them, you're to go to them one-on-one. You're to talk to them. You're to try to bring that level down.
Yeah.
Then, if that doesn't happen, there are other steps. There are other guidelines you can take. But the first thing to do is say, whoa, Patrick, hang on a minute. You hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
You know, I'm upset about this. And give a chance for it to work out. If it's, you know, if it's a bully situation, if you're going to beat me up after that, then I might want to have a witness with me. But, you know, it just all depends on our reaction to it.
Right. What about in those moments where we're wronged and we want to go to that person and we want to right that wrong? And we, you know, we don't want to go and just even that wrong, we want to go one step further. Like, you know, you broke my phone, I'm going to go break your TV. Like that kind of a situation. What are we to do in that moment?
First of all, you need to stop. Cool off. Don't ever react in the heat of the moment.
So take a chill pill.
Take a chill pill. And you have to remember, it's all God's. He's going to have the vengeance. He says this in his word, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. He's going to take care of it. And the consequences that he gives to people are eternal.
Right. And that's a scary thing to realize. And in reality, that's good news because that's a weight off of our shoulders, right?
That's right.
I don't have to worry about righting this wrong. Either right. One, they're going to be forgiven, which praise God for that. Or two, the wrong will be righted for eternity.
I want to give you just a quick example. One time I was real upset with someone to the point I was seeing a counselor. And I said, I really would like for this person to get what they deserve.
Wow.
And my counselor looked at me and said, would you really? And I, of course, me being the smart aleck I am, I said, yeah, I think so. And he said, okay, close your eyes for just a second. Visualize what you want this person or what you think this person deserves. And so I said, okay. And he said, wait a minute, Rita, there's somebody that has walked up behind you. Oh, that's Jesus. How do you feel now? And it was crushing knowing what Jesus did for me.
Right.
And I wanted to hurt someone else. It was crushing. And I've never forgot that time because no matter what I could do, no matter what I would want to do in my flesh, I still have to stand before Jesus. I still have to be accountable for that.
Right.
And I have no right.
So we have to be careful where our anger takes us.
That's right.
And so with all this being said, God's grace
and mercy.
And his mercy is the ultimate answer to the anger we experience.
That's right.
And God could have, when Adam and Eve sinned, when we sin, God would be completely just to look at us in his wrath.
That's right.
And say, here's what you get, here's what you deserve. But he took that upon himself.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's something we need to remember anytime we experience anger, whether that's being cut off in traffic. Yep. As a parent, when a kid says, my chicken nuggets aren't the right consistency or texture, you microwaved them instead of air frying them, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Or when somebody wrongs us in some kind of way.
Yeah, that's right.
God's grace is sufficient.
Absolutely.
We need to remember that. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us for this podcast on anger. We pray that it helps you. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcast, we ask that you give us a follow and a good review. And if you're on YouTube, you can subscribe. And if you're on our website, we ask that you go ahead and share that with anyone and everyone you can. Thanks for joining us today. You want to grab that sign, Rita?
I forgot. Sorry.
We'll see y'all later.